Hallelujah. John chapter 15. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. These are the words of Jesus. You have a red letter edition. They're in red. I remember when I was a new Christian, I didn't know how to pray. I had a pocket New Testament that had Jesus' words in red. I would just pace and read the words of Jesus back to him. I would put them in the first person and say, Lord, you said, and just go from there. It's a great way to learn to pray, I tell you. And there's nothing better to pray than to pray the word back to the King. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. That's pretty sobering, isn't it? And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, this more fruit pruning is not a pleasant experience. If you've ever been pruned by the Lord, you know, the pruning is where you cut away branches, maybe the ones down low or the ones that are dry and brittle or the ones that, you know, aren't really healthy. You cut them away so the rest of the branch, the rest of the connection will grow straight and tall and clean. And so Jesus now is making a beautiful analogy to our relationship with him. People say to me, are you religious? No, sir. I want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's vital that I have a relationship with him. It's imperative that I am connected to him. And you know, to be quite honest, the very nature of our flesh abhors a connection with Jesus. The flesh does. We can be religious, we can speak Christianese, we can look like a Christian, we can talk like a Christian, we can act like a Christian, and still not necessarily on any given day be totally connected to Jesus. And so this is an effort that we have to make to stay connected, to abide in him. That was his words, not mine. To stay connected. Abiding is staying there in his presence. You know, if you came to my house and you started to leave, and I said, well, abide with me a little longer. I mean, stay with me a little longer, right? And Jesus is saying, stay with me. Stay with me. When you wake up in the morning, throughout the day, when you lay your head on your pillow at night, abide in me. Stay with me. Stay connected to me. If you don't, you can't bear fruit. And if you don't bear fruit, the one who's responsible for the vine will cut you off and toss you in the fire. And if you do bear a little fruit, he will prune you and make some things uncomfortable in your life so that you bear more fruit. And that's his words. Now, he tells us that we're clean because of the word which he's spoken to us. What he's saying is that the first prerequisite for being connected is you must be born again. The word is a seed that takes root in the heart, watered by the power of the Holy Spirit, explodes into new life, and a person becomes born again. And so then they're clean. So he says, once that happens, then verse 4, abide in me. And I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit except it abide in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. And then in case you just didn't get it, he says again, I am the vine. Great study to study the I ams of Jesus. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the good shepherd, I am the door, I am the gate, I am the vine. Kind of sounds like he's trying to tell us something, doesn't it? There are many roads to heaven, some people say, but we know there is only one, Jesus Christ. He's the vine. We're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, say it with me, you can do nothing. Not a thing. Not a thing. Can't do it. Doesn't matter how much Bible you know, doesn't matter how much singing you have, doesn't matter how many times you witness, doesn't matter how much you pray, doesn't matter, none of that matters If you're not connected to Jesus, you will not succeed as a Christian. You will wither and die. You must abide in him. Without him, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast as a branch that is withered, and they gather them and they throw them in the fire and they're burned. But if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask whatever you desire and it'll be done for you by my Father. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciple. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, I was throwing away, Carolyn asks me the titles of my sermon because she puts them on the internet. And we were throwing around different titles, and she came up with this one, Love Connection. I guess there was some TV show or something, some dating or something called Love Connection. I don't know, she said. And so I was saying, you know, connected to my love, and I'm throwing, she's like, how about Love Connection? I said, I like it, that's good. It's not just connecting with Jesus, it's connecting with the love of God, because God is love. I had a situation this week. There's a lady at my work. She's the head nurse. They call them the DON, Director of Nursing. She's an RN. And she had shared with me some things in her personal life, which I won't obviously repeat. But I know she's had a lot of stress at home. And I was in the break room getting my morning cup of coffee in my Star Trek coffee cup that Dwayne and Joanne gave me that I have. I had one just like it, so I took one to work. And most of the time, the girls at work, they bring me my coffee with my cream and Splenda in it and my Star Trek. I'm so spoiled, I know. But I think I was in there to get something else. I think they'd already brought me my coffee, and this particular nurse says, oh, I need patience. I think it was Thursday. Because on Wednesday, we read 1 Corinthians 13 in our study of Genesis. It related, talking about love. And it was the Holy Spirit, because I'm normally, you know, unless people ask, I try to be sensitive to not sound preachy. And this particular lady, I know that she has a background in Christianity. I think her folks are pretty devout Christians. And she said, oh, I need patience. And I said, without even thinking, it was just the Lord, I said, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not demand its own way. You don't need patience. You need love. It was the Lord. I was kind of taken back that it came out of my mouth, but it's true. And it's true for all of us, because sometimes people will irritate us. Sometimes we'll get a little miffed. Sometimes we will have an attitude. And you know what that says to me? It doesn't just say, I'm not being loving. It says to me, I'm not being connected. Because if I'm truly connected, regardless of how spiritual I may act, if I'm truly connected, I'm walking in God's love. And by walking in God's love, I have that loving attitude. Amen? It's kind of a great thermostat for asking me, am I truly connected to the source of all love. So I want to read 1 Corinthians 13. I think most of us can almost quote it. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, I have become sounding brass and clanking cymbals. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to church members in Corinth, and he's talking to church members in Telequa. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. And he says, though I am acting very religious, if I don't have love, I don't have anything. Now, we just read, Jesus said, abide in me, and if you abide in me, you're going to be abiding in my love. The love connection. So my ability to love is a direct thermostat of my connection to the source of love, the vine. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding mysteries, the knowledge of and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm just nothing. Wow. Kind of sounds like this needs to be preached more often, doesn't it? Steps on some people's toes. Certainly makes me step back and reevaluate my attitude at times. And though I bestow all my goods to the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits. Profits me nothing. There's that emphatic statement again. Nothing. You know, if the Lord is truly coming very soon, and I believe he is, one of the scariest things to hear him say is, I don't know you. Not, did you pastor church? Did you preach? Did you witness? Did you sing? It's, are you connected? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Does he know you? And if not, none of this other stuff profits you anything. What he said. Now, love suffers long. Long suffering. Suffers long. Love is long suffering. You don't know what he did to me. Suck it up. Love suffers long. You know what she said to me? You can take it. You've not yet resisted the blood. Love suffers long. But I just don't love him anymore. You need to get connected to the source, the love connection. If I am connected to the love connection, then love is the natural byproduct, because that's the fruit. We're going to look at the fruit here in just a second. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. We call that getting your feathers ruffled, right? Well, he ruffled my feathers, puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. You know what provoked? The 21st century word is button pusher. He just pushes my buttons. Well, you know, he just rubs me wrong. Well, I don't like his attitude. But love is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Have someone cut you off in traffic. Thinks no evil. Bless him, Lord. Yeah. How many of us do that? Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. As a Christian, our ultimate goal should be truth. It is not casting demons out that set me free. It is truth that sets me free. Years ago, when we started Faith Fellowship, we had Saturday night services at what was at the time Crossroads. Nola was there. And I had taught on Jewish temple worship, the high priest, different things. And though I had read or heard this in some kind of commentary, there happened to be a man there that night who was an expert on some of this stuff. And he corrected me afterwards about something. I was a little offended, but I didn't act like it. I told a colleague of mine, a brother in the Lord, about it. And being mature, he said, praise the Lord. What do you mean, praise the Lord? And it was a great object lesson that I've never forgotten. Because if I really want truth, if I really am who God wants me to be, I need to have a teachable spirit. Praise the Lord. I was wrong. Praise the Lord. I learned something. Praise the Lord. I can be corrected. Praise the Lord. I rejoice in truth. Not just my truth. Truth, truth. If I'm wrong, I need to be teachable. Rejoice in truth. Now, love bears all things. Grin and bear it. take it. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Puts up with it, keeps going, doesn't quit. My first pastor, Pastor Sam Mayo, keep on keeping on, and when you can't keep on a little longer. Had that Georgia accent. I found him on the internet about a year ago. Sent him an email. He responded, "I remember, Raj." He said, "Jesus is coming. I remember you, Raj. Jesus is coming soon. Give him 110% and keep on keeping on." That was what, 79? How many years has that been? That's his tagline. Keep on keeping on. Love endures all things. Love never fails. Man. We could do a series on this for the next 16 weeks. Love never fails. Love connection. How can I do this? I can't be like this. You'd have to be God to be like this or be connected to Him. The love connection. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they'll fail. Whether they're tongues, they'll cease. And whether they're knowledge, they'll vanish away. We know in part. We prophesy in part, but when that is perfect has come, then that which is in part will pass away. When as a child I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but now I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. We know in part, but then we'll know even as we also are known. And now abides faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now, going back to my statement about my coworker, how many times have we said, "I need patience"? What does patience look like? What does impatience look like? In Galatians chapter 5, we find the contrast between the work of the flesh and the gifts of the Spirit. Galatians 5:14 says, 5:15 says, "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Is he talking to cannibals? No, he's talking about that attitude, that snappy, angry attitude, that ugly, fleshy attitude. Snaps at people. You ever snapped at someone? You're not being patient. You're not walking in love. You're not connected to love. You're in the flesh. Somebody pushes your buttons and you snap at them. And sometimes then they snap back at you, and then it turns into a full-fledged argument or fight. And here the Lord tells us, you go down that road, you're going to eat each other, chew each other up, and spit each other out. You're going to consume one another. So he says, then I say, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, how do I walk in the Spirit? I'm connected to the source of love, the love connection. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you wish. In other words, you can't be connected to Jesus and still in the flesh, and you can't be in the flesh and be connected to the vine, to Jesus. You can't be both. James talks about this same thing, and he says, it's like a well that's producing good water and bitter water. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. It just don't work. But he says, if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, here's the works of the flesh. They're evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfishness, selfish ambition, dissension, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalries, and of the like of which I tell you before, as I have also told you, in times past that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, notice he does say practice. If you've ever done one of these things, it doesn't mean you're not going to go to heaven. But if you are continuing to do these things, you need to take a serious look at yourself. These are the works of the flesh. Interesting that flesh is always tied to works. That's why we don't believe you get to heaven by works. You know, when I work, I get a check. It's a payday. It's my leave and earn, or my earning statement, right? It's my record of how much I worked, how much I get paid, right? And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So when I work, I receive wages, and the wages are death. Aren't you glad we don't have to work? We just have to be connected. You say, well, Brother Roger, that is work. Sometimes it is, but it's a different kind of work. It's not working to get, it's working to stay connected. Labor to enter in his rest. That statement in Hebrews sounds like an oxymoron. How do you labor to enter into rest? Isn't labor the opposite of rest? No, it means take and make every effort to get connected to the source of rest, the source of love, the source of peace, abiding in the vine, connected to Jesus Christ. That's the only labor that God condones. It's the only one he expects. And that's why we do what we do. That's why we take effort to read our Bible, to pray, to do these things, not because it's a religious duty, but because we want to connect to the source of love. And that love will help me to look and act like Jesus. It will push me away from the works of the flesh and bring me into the spirit realm. Amen. Which brings us then to the fruit of the Spirit. What did Jesus say? If you are connected to me, you will bear what? Fruit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Period. You say, well, it doesn't end with a period. No, it doesn't. But the rest of these things are attributes of love. See, that's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. Love, all these things are attributes of love. And Jesus said, if you're connected to me, we're in that love connection. It's the love connection. It's the only way. And so the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, out of that comes joy and peace, and there's that word long-suffering again, and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such there is no law. You know, the Bible says some peculiar things about a person who's connected to the source. You know, people throw around Matthew 7, 1, judge not lest you be judged, and that's legitimate. Those are the words of Jesus. But there's another statement in the Bible that says, he that spiritual judges all things, but he himself is judged of no man. But the key word there is not judged, it's spiritual. It means the person who's connected to the love source, the love connection, who's totally connected to Christ, who's hidden in Christ, who's labored to enter into the rest, and he's got the mind of Christ, then he has the right to be used as the oracle of God to judge, and nobody can judge him. And I mean, that's a rare person. That is a person who is the Wigglesworth of the world, right? The rest of us should just focus on Matthew 7:1, not to judge. Get the mote out of our own eye. Because I haven't arrived, and maybe, I don't know, you have, but I haven't arrived yet. But I want to arrive, and I know the only way to arrive is to abide in the vine. The only way. So, I must abide. I must stay connected to the source. Now, if you, and I know I've told this story before, I like to tell it when I do John 15. It's the story of the two little branches who are wanting to bear fruit. I see it as a little kid's cartoon, little buds on a branch. And they're kind of looking at each other, teasing one another, saying, I'm going to bear more fruit than you. No, you're not, right? And there comes this huge, huge wind, this huge storm. And, oh, glad we made it through that. Yeah, me too. So, well, are we ready? Yes, I'm going to beat you. And like me and Carolyn and Domino's this weekend. She won the deciding game, the third match. Little competition. The one branch just began to bud, and pretty soon this big, luscious fruit began to grow. The other one was just, he's trying so hard. Nothing's happening. You can see the little veins in his branch popping. That doesn't make any sense, I know, but you got to have that. You know, you get the idea that he is trying so hard to bear the fruit of love. I'm going to love if it kills me, and he can't do it. He doesn't understand nothing's happening, and he's wanting it to. And finally, after days of this luscious fruit hanging on the other one, he says, well, haven't you noticed? In that storm, you were blown off. You're lying on the ground. You're not connected. Doesn't matter how hard you try, it's not going to happen. And you know, isn't it sad that sometimes in the storms of life, we get bitter, we get angry by what he did or she did, and we're still going to church, and we're still singing hymns, and we're still reading our Bible, and we're still clapping our hands, and we don't see any fruit, and we don't understand what's going on, but somewhere along the line, we have lost our connection to the source. Our love connection has been severed. We haven't forgiven that person who offended us. We haven't walked in love. We haven't shaken off these things that try to eat away at our connection to Jesus. No matter how hard we try, no matter how much we give, no matter how long we pray, as spiritual as we think we are, if we are not connected, we will never see the fruit of the Spirit of God. Amen. It's just a fact. And so we have this statement again in Galatians. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Who's he talking to? The church. Who's he talking to? Me. He's talking to you. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. I want to be spiritual, but I'm not. What's wrong? Goes back to Jesus' words. Abide in me. Amen. Abide in me. Come on up, Nola. Hallelujah. Abide in me. I want to allow some time this morning for prayer. Not going to ask any hands. I'm not going to ask anyone to come forward. I'm just going to let Nola play. The altars are open if you want to take advantage of that. I would be amiss in my responsibility if I didn't give us a chance to take inventory of where we're at spiritually. Amen. And to ask the Lord to examine your relationship with Him. You know, in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, we find that Lot pitched his tent facing Sodom, and the next chapter he was in Sodom. It's so easy to let that relationship with God slip, and when it slips, it always takes you farther than you want to go and costs you more than you want to pay. Amen. And so, let's pray. Father, we just ask you this morning to examine our hearts. Oh, we could continue to go through the motions and we could continue to speak Christianese and clap our hands and sing our songs. But Lord, the proof is in the fruit. Some people have said, I don't judge, I'm just a fruit inspector. Lord, inspect our fruit this morning. Am I really walking in love? Am I really abiding in the vine? The proof is in the fruit. So search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my spirit. And help me, Lord, to labor. Not to look religious. Not to be spiritual in my own eyes. But just to make every effort I can come back to that first love and be connected to the vine, the love connection. Hallelujah. Let's just take a minute to pray, shall we? Thank you. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Stay connected to you. Make the Lord of our lives. Lord of us. Call in the shots. Connect with you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. Let me become less. You become more. Lord, nothing's more important in my life than to abide in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Have your way. Make it a love song to him. I mm-hmm. I challenge you this week to reevaluate some things in your life. The old timers used to say, keep the main thing, the main thing. And the main thing is my love connection. Let's pray. Father, as we close our service today, we thank you for your presence. We felt your presence, Lord, and it feels good. We're not satisfied with this feeling on Sunday morning. We want to be connected to it all the time. I'm selfish, Lord. I want it all the time. And I know I can have it if I want it bad enough. And so, Lord, help me. Help us this week to abide in you. From the time we wake up till we lay our head to rest, abide in the vine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glad I came to church today. God bless you. We got food back there. We are honoring the joys as they are leaving us. Oh, yeah, I have to walk in love. I can't be animosity. I'm teasing. We're so glad they have been such an integral part of us, and we are sending them away. In fact, come on up, guys. Let's just pray over them.